Open your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5. I want to begin reading in verse 13. These are not uncommon verses. Most of us have read them before. Verse 13, Matthew chapter 5, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, saltiness, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing. I want everybody to say those three words. Good
for nothing.
Good for nothing. Jesus' words. But to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. If you you write notes in your Bible, I would say right after that verse, write the word tyranny. Because that's what Jesus is talking about. When the Christians have lost their saltiness, they're good for nothing. But to be thrown out and trodden under the foot of men, the boot of the tyrant. Verse 14, ye are the light of the world. So verse 13, you're the salt of the earth. Verse 14, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Underline that word fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Underline fulfilled. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown. Ye are the salt of the earth. To preserve it from corruption, in Scripture, mankind, under the unrestrained workings of their own evil nature, are represented as entirely corrupt. The remedy for this, says our Lord here, is the active presence of his disciples among their fellows. The character and principles of Christians brought into close contact with it, society, our fellows, are designed to arrest the festering corruption of humanity. Our job as disciples of Jesus is to be the salt of the earth, to preserve it from corruption, designed to arrest the festering corruption of humanity. We are here to keep corruption in our society at bay. Yes. And ladies and gentlemen, nothing smells of corruption anymore than the governments in Washington, D.C. and Tel Aviv, Israel. The genocide in Gaza, the ethnic cleansing of the West Bank, the mass murders of innocents by the IDF all over the Middle East, and now the flagrant war of aggression against Iran. The foulest, most obscene, most wicked crime within this flagrant war of aggression. By itself, the crime of crimes was the deliberate murder of 170 grade school girls, ages 6 through 12, by the war criminal Pete Hegseth. Hegseth knew what he was doing when he said in front of the generals and admirals, I'm sure they were very impressed, when he said that he wanted to do away with the stupid rules of engagement. Well, he wasn't kidding. He did eviscerate the rules of engagement from the U.S. military, and the rules of engagement were there so that 170 little innocent girls would not be slaughtered by the Secretary of Defense of the United States of America. And the reason they were slaughtered is because Hegseth removed the stupid rules of engagement. The rules of engagement were not stupid. Pete Hegseth is stupid. No, he's not stupid. He is evil. Hegseth has crusader tattoos all over his body. He sees himself as a Christian crusader whose mission in life is to destroy the infidels. He wrote a book about being a Christian crusader, and the purpose is to destroy the infidels. But a Christian's duty, according to the New Covenant Gospel, is to convert the infidels, not destroy them. Do you remember when the neocons in Washington said about the Muslims back in 2003? Muslims are religious crusaders. They're religious fanatics. That's what we were told in 2003 by Dick Cheney and G.W. Bush. They're religious fanatics. They're religious crusaders. Well, now, the religious fanatics are in Washington, D.C., and in many evangelical churches. They're the religious fanatics. With all my heart, I say to the unchurched world that may hear the sound of my voice, the Christianity of Pete Hegseth is not the Christianity of the New Testament. Amen. I want you unchurched folks to please understand that Pete Hegseth does not represent the Bible. He does not represent the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not represent the new covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does not represent true Christianity in America. Christ's charge to the church is to help preserve the world around us from corruption. But what many evangelical Christians have done is allow the corruption of the world to corrupt them. But if the salt have lost his savor, again, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, become unsavory, the meaning is that Christianity that loses its salting properties, listen, on which the health of the world depends, in any age, region, or individual, by existing only in name, it contains not those saving elements, for want of which the world languishes. No truer words were ever spoken. Then Jesus asked, wherewith shall it be salted? Let me ask you something. What good is a Christian without a conscience? What good is a Christian that puts political partisanship above the holy name of God? What good is a Christian that defines wickedness and righteousness totally based on political party? What good is a Christian that grovels before blasphemers? What good is a Christian that has sold his or her conscience and convictions to a bloviating, bullying, blackmailing predator like Donald Trump? What good is that Christian? I say to you, Christian Zionists, you who call yourselves Christian, and yet you justify and condone wars of aggression, genocide, ethnic cleansing, mass murder, and willful wanton destruction. What good has the Bible done you? You read the Bible. You memorize portions of the Bible. You go to Sunday school and church. What good does it do you? What good has the Bible done you? What good has Sunday school done you? What good has church done you? I ask with all sincerity, what good has it done you? How can you read the words of the Gospels, you know, the words that are in red, and then turn around and cheer the murderous monsters who make the streets of cities run red with the blood of murdered women and children? How can you do that? How can you support the corrupt political leaders who conceal and protect the billionaire monsters who abuse, molest, and commit the vilest acts imaginable against little children? How can you do that? What good has the Bible done you? I say again, what good has the Bible done you? You are not helping to preserve your world from corruption. You yourselves have become a partner in corruption. Where is the salty message of truth going to come from if it doesn't come from America's pulpits? John Gill wrote this, quoting Jesus in the text, "It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot." Gill writes, "Salt is good for nothing but to make things savory and preserve from putrefaction. And when it has lost its savor, it is of no use, neither to men nor beasts, as some things are when corrupted, nor is it of any use to the land or dunghill." You know what that means. "For it makes barren and not fruitful. So ministers of the word, when they have dropped the savory doctrines of the gospel, their usefulness is gone. So generally speaking, it is never retrieved. They are cast out and treated with contempt by everyone." Close quote. John Gill. An apt description of the modern evangelical pulpit. It is good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. And then last sentence I want you to notice, they are cast out and treated with contempt by everyone. This guy wrote this back in the 19th century. It's like he wrote it in 2026. That is exactly what is happening right now. The people of the world hold evangelical Christians in utter contempt for their unyielding support for Donald Trump and his lawless, murderous, contemptible conduct. Evangelical Christians are the laughing stock of the world. The whole world is laughing at us. The whole world holds us in derision and contempt. They see us as the offscouring of the world. And they are right. We have sat back and allowed to happen what is happening. Nothing that is happening today could have happened without the support of the evangelical pastors and Christians of the United States. We deserve the contempt that we are experiencing around the world. And the thing is so staggering about it is these evangelical preachers don't even realize how disgusting they are to the rest of the world. They think they're really popular, like Trump himself. They're living in their own fantasy world, in their own mind. They can't even see reality when it's staring them in the face. No, you're not popular. People think you're disgusting. They hold you in derision. They hold us in contempt. They despise you. They're angry at you for allowing this monster in the White House to be unleashed on the countries of the world. Amen. Christian Zionism itself has alienated almost all of the peoples of the world. Everyone in the world despises Zionism. They know what it is. They know how evil it is. They know how wicked it is. They see what it's done in Gaza. They see what it's doing in the West Bank and Lebanon and any other country in the Middle East. They see them for who they are, the wicked, vile, murderous, genocidal monsters of the Middle East. The whole world sees it. Everybody except the evangelical, MAGA, religious fanatics in America. I am often accused of being a political pastor. You've heard that. What a joke. I am one of the most apolitical pastors you will ever meet in your lifetime. I apply the biblical principles of government to everyone equally, regardless of political party. I don't care if it's Republican or Democrat. Truth is truth, lies are lies, I'm for truth. By avoiding the biblical principles of governmental truth and the three basic fundamental principles of good government, and you need to write these down, memorize them if you can right now, or write them down and memorize them later. The top three principles of good government: truth, justice, peace. By avoiding the biblical principles of government, truth, justice, peace, America's pastors have in fact lost their savor and are allowing themselves to be trodden under the feet of wicked, unsavory politician. You Christian Zionists, you Trump toady preachers, you don't even know it, but you are being buried in the dirt by the boots of the Epstein billionaire class, and you don't even see it. They have you buried in the ground under their thumb. They've stomped you with the heels of their boots. These monster billionaire Epstein class, horrific criminals of criminals, men who have gotten away to this point with some of the most vile, wicked crimes against humanity, unspeakable crimes. And you supporters of Trump, you're Christian Zionist loyalists, you are the ones that are allowing the Epstein monsters to get away with murder. You're the ones. Every pastor that ignores Christ's principles of truth, justice, and peace has rejected Christ. Amen. If you reject his principles, his truths, his word, you've rejected him. Do you know Jesus said that he put his word? Find it in your concordance. God said he put his word even above his name. Go find it. I don't have the text in front of me, so you can do a little work on your own. Go find it. That's what God said in his word. I have put my word, above my name. Think about that. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Amen. And every tongue shall confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus is Lord. At the name of Jesus, I have put my word above my name. These preachers that are refusing to preach the true word of God have rejected God. Verse 14, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." I want you to underline those four words. See your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Listen, our good works, let that men may see your good works. You're the light on the hill. They may see your good works. Our good works include standing against the bloodthirsty warmongers in the White House and Congress. And it means standing against the bloodthirsty warmongers in Tel Aviv, Israel, that controls the White House. That's why you're so disgusted around the world, because they're not seeing your good works. They're seeing evil works. They're seeing you support, endorse, and justify evil. The world deserves to see a church standing against the evils of this world. Amen. We owe them that. Amen. And then verses 17 and 18. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Till all the law be fulfilled. By whom? By whom is all the law of Moses? That's the law he's speaking of. By whom is all the law of Moses fulfilled? Yeah, you know the answer here. But they don't know it out there.
Jesus.
Of course. Look at it. Look at what he said in verse 17. He says, I am not. So let's take out the negative and let's just read the positive. So let's take out not come to destroy. So read it. I am come to fulfill. Right? Yes. He's come to fulfill. And then he says in verse 18 that heaven and earth is not going to pass till all be fulfilled by me. I have come to fulfill all the law. All the law of Moses will be fulfilled by me. That's why I came. The law of Moses. Contrary to what you hear from these Christian Zionist people called themselves preachers, the law of Moses is not fulfilled in those atheist Antichrist Khazars in Palestine called Israelis. The law of Moses is fulfilled, all of it, in Jesus. I get this accusation all the time. How many times do I have to say it? I do not believe in replacement theology. Nothing can replace Old Covenant Israel. Who would want to? I believe in fulfillment theology, that the law and the prophets were all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That is what Jesus taught. That is what the Apostle Paul taught. That is what the New Covenant Gospel teaches. Christian Zionists don't realize what they're doing. Now, some of them do. Don't fool yourself. Some of these men know exactly what they're doing. It comes from deep inside their heart, or should I say, deep inside their pocketbook. But they know what they're doing. Some of them do not realize what they are doing. By calling the Antichrist Israelis, God's chosen people, they are denying that Christ's fulfilled the law as he said he did. Think about it. When they call the Israelis God's chosen people, they are denying what Jesus just said, that he came to fulfill all the law, and he did it through his cross and his resurrection. So when they say, oh, the Israelis are God's chosen people, they are Christ deniers. They are New Covenant deniers. They are denying what Jesus said he came to do, to fulfill the Old Covenant law. You see what I'm saying? Some of them don't even realize what they're doing. They're denying Christ. This is not politics. I hope you understand this. This is not politics. This is deeply theological. This is deeply biblical. We're talking about the very essence of what Jesus came to this earth to do. He fulfilled in his flesh, in his death, in his resurrection, the Old Covenant law. All of it, amen. Once forever. Amen. Oh, the Israelis are God's chosen people. I will bless them that bless thee. We've got to bless Israel. They're God's chosen people. You are a Christ denier. You are denying what Jesus came to do and what he did. You're denying that he did it. You're denying that Jesus fulfilled the law. You're saying that Jesus is a liar. Come on, I'm tired of dancing around the tulips with Tiny Tim. You young people have no idea who that is. I'm tired of dancing around this. We got to start calling it what it is. These Christian Zionists are calling Jesus a liar. It's time that we call them on the carpet for their blasphemy. Jesus came to keep all the law, and he did it. If he kept all the law, then how can you say that there is a nationalistic or a racial God's people over in Palestine? Whenever God, through Christ, completely abolished the Old Covenant, through Jesus, who kept the Old Covenant and gave us the New Covenant, we're all are one in Christ. But they are denying the New Covenant of Christ. They're denying that all men, regardless of nationality, race, or ethnicity, are one in the body of Christ. They deny that. They still believe in this Old Testament dichotomy that there's national Israel over here, an individual distinct entity, and then there's the church over here, an individual distinct entity, separate. Separate. Israel's over here, the Israelis. And then the church is over here, two different entities altogether separated. They're denying what Jesus said he did. They're denying what we did on the cross. They're denying the new covenant body of Christ, where that, as Paul exclaimed, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. Huh? We're all one in Christ. What are you going to do with that, Mr. Hagee? What do you do with that, Mr. Jeffers? Pastor of the big First Baptist Church of Dallas. That means nothing. Bad doctrine is bad doctrine, no matter how many come to hear it. There's one body. One body, not two. We're all one in Christ. When Christians embrace Zionism, they become good for nothing. In obeying Jesus' command that we be the salt that preserves the world against corruption and become themselves corrupted. I say, quote me on it. Clip this out of the video if you want and replay it. Christian Zionists are good for nothing except to help the corruptors of truth, justice, and peace continue their wanton, wicked, evil slaughter of innocents around the world. That's all you're good for, is giving cover to the bloodthirsty murderers of the Zionists in Tel Aviv. That's all you're good for. Your whole existence is about providing cover and giving justification to a bunch of thieving, raping, plundering, murdering, barbarous infidels that you say are the God's chosen people. But that's not what the Bible says. The new covenant gospel says all who come to faith in Christ are God's chosen people. Hallelujah. We are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, to declare to the world that the Lord Jesus Christ completely fulfilled the law of Moses. And all men who trust Christ as their Savior are redeemed from the curse of sin, and yes, the curse of the law. And in Christ, we are all God's chosen people. Amen. Let's stand for a word of prayer.